Oh man, I'm sorry. I just feel a little tired here. You know how us daywalkers are. By the way, this is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, coming to you from the Sin City, or Las Vegas, Nevada. And come to think of it, I think we're not the only Sin City, probably Washington, D.C. as well. I have a special guest on my show today, as I've told in the last couple of shows. His name is Lewis Martin, and he is a blogger, has a blog site called MyUFO.com. And Lewis, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Hey, you know, what fascinated me about your site, a long time ago I checked it out, is the way the style you wrote. It's basically almost like a... almost like Crooks and Liars. I don't know if you remember the progressive blog sites, but it has that style, and it has a collage of from poltergeists to UFOs to haunted houses and et cetera. So when I saw that, I was like, man, what the hell? This is really fascinating. Most people have one or the other, or it's really, you know, I don't know how to say it, like a hip style to it. But what really came to me, I was wondering, well, I think we should probably go into what your background, how you even got to get your interest and put this on screen. So can you just briefly tell our audience of what your background is and how you came about wanting to get into getting into this stuff?
Sure. I guess when I was a kid, you know, just like everybody else, you see all that stuff on TV. Then one day I just kind of stumbled upon the domain for almost nothing and just kind of became a hobby. And then the more I did it, the more stuff I found to put up and just kind of turned into what it is today.
So, like, what is your background in relation to UFOs? I know, are you originally born and raised in Roswell?
No, I was born in the Midwest. I moved here almost exactly 3 years ago. Background, I don't know, you know, just watching stuff on TV, researching on the net all the time. Just kind of a hobby turned into a career, almost.
Have you ever had any, like, UFO-like experiences or paranormal situations?
Well, yes, I've seen a few ghosts. I even had someone, I guess they committed suicide, actually appear to me in a physical form in a Hastings of all places.
Where's Hastings?
It's here in town. It's like a bookstore, video store, video games, that type of a place.
Wow. And what happened?
He actually talked to me, and I wasn't the only one to see him.
Wow. So it was basically like a ghost-like event, sort of, in a way.
A physical manifestation of a, you know, dead person.
Wow. Have you had any other, like, experiences other than that?
Well, you know, stuff flying off the wall, TVs breaking. One time I had some woman call me with a message on her answering machine, not the one where, you know, you call up and leave, but the main one, and it was my voice with my telephone number, but that telephone number never had an answering machine on it, and I called it back later to see if it was a joke, and it was still on there.
Wow.
I don't even know how to explain something like that, you know. Maybe a doppelganger, I don't know. But weird stuff just always kind of happens, so I guess maybe that's, you know, where the interest came from.
Huh. And what was your interest as far as UFOs, besides being from Roswell? Everybody knows about Roswell with the infamous landing back in the 40s, but or supposed landing, as the government says. But what became your interest as far as UFOs then? In the ET phenomena.
Okay, well, I met someone here by the name of Clifford Stone. I guess he used to be, from his own words, a UFO, somebody that would, you know, got him the crashes for the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with him and talked to him a few times, and I guess that's kind of the main interest in the UFOs. The more I talked to him, I did more research and found more information about that.
Huh.
But I guess he was actually in the Army. He was a sergeant or master sergeant. It kind of depends on what sources you hear. And he was a nuclear, chemical, biological recovery team, I believe, was his official position.
Uh-huh.
And he seen craft flying overhead when he was on duty in Germany, I believe. So there was a wealth of information about him on the internet. In fact, I even have another blog about him. It's, you know, the myufo.com/stone. And there's about 19 or 20 articles about him on there that I've collected.
So basically, you're almost like a, it sounds like a ufologist. You're like a researcher. Almost, it seems like, that you're trying to, going about and tracking down information regarding extraterrestrials and UFOs, and then putting it together, and then putting on your blog site, basically.
Right. Anything that I can find that's interesting, I'll put it up there. Even sometimes it's not that interesting, but, you know, sometimes you just need something up there.
Have you ever, you know about the, I think it's called, I'm trying to remember the name of that, was it back in the 2000 or something like that, they had, it's called the Disclosure Project.
Right,
you,
right.
Familiar with that?
A little bit. That's one that Clifford Stone was involved in.
Yeah, and Dr. Greer.
Right, right.
Yeah, I've heard him. He had a interesting taping with another, I don't know if you know the site, and they have like a TV show, Let's Talk Paranormal with Tracy Austin Peters. And she had brought that to me as attention, because a lot of stuff I had, this goes back to my book, but stuff that had related to the presence of extraterrestrials and all that stuff that's happening right now that's not being related to, that's being covered up by the U.S. government and such.
Right.
But
in fact,
how
didn't
do you
they
feel?
Break the Monica Lewinsky thing about the time they were going to do the disclosure thing?
Yeah, and then also then 9/11 happened, and then
right.
That became very much of a, and of course with the present government where they basically incorporated more of a secrecy situation on most matters, including our energy, which we're now eating up right now, $3 and something dollars a gallon. They, you know, it's basically made it worse, I think a worse situation. How do you relate with that? Because I know I was reading on your, in some of your blogs, I mean, it's not, a lot of it has extraterrestrials, but you, every now and then I see you, you do get into a little bit of politics, and particularly when it gets, I guess, to free speech, which I guess would affect anybody who would put out a blog, because basically you're trying to talk about what you think or see or hear or whatever. And I know you had gotten pretty upset about the situation with, what's his name? Opie and Anthony in, I think it's in New Jersey or New York. And they had a 30-day suspension for making some remarks about Condoleezza Rice. So what's your relation? That probably, because I saw you have, that was really caught me off guard that you started getting into a little bit of a political situation.
Well, I'm actually pretty opinionated when it comes to politics, but I try to stay out of it so it doesn't, you know, just kind of turn into a, I don't know, because that's not really the focus that I'm trying to go towards. But once in a while, I'll make a post about something like that. It just seems ridiculous they keep banning people off the radio or suspending them or whatever when they knew what they were getting when they hired these people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily a fan of these type of shows, but it seems like if you hire somebody to do that, then you shouldn't suspend them for doing what you hired them to do.
Yeah. So you're like very much of a, I would say, and not getting into politics in itself, but more, and not to classify you or anything like that, more into a more of a libertarian type of a belief system as far as free speech and is concerned.
Well, yeah, I believe real heavily in, you know, freedom, you know, not government control. Seems like everything gets worse the more the government controls our lives.
Yeah. And that has pretty much, and then I guess from your standpoint, for bringing out the situation with UFOs and extraterrestrials, that would be a point of your interest, trying to get that out in a way that would be more like, because you do in a way that most people do, a very, very dry way of bringing out. I'll tell you straight up, because I've seen a lot of sites, that's what propped me up by your site. They get very dry when they talk about UFOs. Actually, here they are, and that's it. You know, it's very clean cut, here it is. I mean, it doesn't really have style, and you know, this is what I'm saying about your site. It's pretty unique. You put out shows and things, but also in a way that it's you know, making it more casual, like it's nonchalant, not something that you know, it's like something weird, or something crazy.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, that I don't feel like I need the burden of proof. You know, people are going to believe or they're not going to believe. It's not my job to make them believe. It's just my job, you know, to show them some of the stuff, then they can make up their own mind.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think too. You know, people, you know, you can only show them what, and then, you know, what can you do? I mean, I know, you know, colleagues of mine, when you get talking about extraterrestrials, you know, they all talk about it and they all say it, but they don't really want to say it out loud because sometimes some people say, well, you're a little bit crazy or not. So you leave it as it is, you know, pretty much. Do you think that, and just talking about the situation with extraterrestrials, do you think that is a phenomena or something that's going to become more of a situation where it's going to be more opened, or as far as media, or I mean, what's your basic belief of as far as the future and what's going to happen with in relation with the extraterrestrials? Obviously, you believe in extraterrestrials, but do you think that's going to become more of a given, or what do you? I mean, I'm trying to find out what do you believe in that situation now in the near future.
Well, I think the more and more events that happen, the more we'll see of it. I mean, just look at the way the Internet's become. YouTube, MySpace. I mean, there's venues for everyone to post anything they possibly want just about. So the more that it happens, I think the more that we'll see it. And then, you know, the media and the government's not going to be able to control everything. Just the nature of the Internet and the way things are becoming. You know, the probability of aliens being out there, whether, you know, a person's seen one or not, is, you know, pretty high chance that they're out there. I mean, if we look at some of the mythology and stuff, some of that, you know, could be looked at as aliens. I mean, you can't prove it one way or another, but, you know, they went to the heavens and stuff like that. That could be space, you know. It's hard to tell for sure.
Well, you can go from the biblical events to the Sumerians and Egyptians and Mayans and so on. I mean, they all really basically talk about extraterrestrials and aliens and UFOs. I mean, Ezekiel.
Well, yeah, and so some of the old drawings, you know, to go way back, show things that could be spaceships, you know, or some kind of craft.
Why would you think the government, I mean, obviously people would be freaked out, but what would be the thought pattern behind why would the government want to keep this away from people wanting to disclose this so fast, or why is it not being disclosed? Well, I mean, what's your opinion regarding that?
I think it would take away their control. I think, you know, way throughout history, it's been a matter of control. You know, religions, I don't know what the origin of religion is, but it seems like about as far back as I've ever seen, the religion has, you know, been modified by man to control man. And, you know, if aliens come into the picture or something like that, then it's going to be very hard to, you know, keep control over man like that.
So it's basically like, just basically, if it was disclosed, see, I feel like if it's been disclosed, I think there'd be ramifications as far as not just government, but societal situations, in particular especially with religions. I mean, organized religions would be flipped upside down because, especially with Christianity, it's being the absolute. I mean,
I mean, that would open up the way we interpret everything.
Yeah. I feel like if it was disclosed, it would change the picture drastically as far as people. Instead of, you know, like, personally, I think it would be like, you know, people realize, you know, we're all humans, we're all made hair color and may speak differently and have different cultures, but we're basically the same. And, you know, we're going to find out that, you know, fighting over whose turf, I call it the prison planet, basically, be non-issue, you know, as far as whose God is better or whose borders what, you know, it's going to be, I think, a non-issue. And I think that's one fear pattern that if that was disclosed, that would change things. Because it would not necessarily look at a person would be looking at as white, green, yellow, you know, Muslim,
right.
Jew, Christian. He'd be just basically, you're an earthling, you know. I think that would open up a lot of scenarios. And I think maybe down the line that would open a pattern, you know. And that's what a lot of people I've talked with in there. In fact, when I wrote my book, actually I didn't really get into much UFOs. It was just an idea I had. And actually after putting it out, I got more exposed, ironically, from doing interviews after interviews, and then and that actually increasingly drew my interest. So when I saw your site, that was, wow, man, this is it, like I said, and everybody should check it out again, myufo.com. I mean, it's real hip. I mean, it's really got stuff in there that's, and not just the UFOs, which I'll get into, but it gets into a lot of the poltergeist situations and haunted houses. But that phenomenon, the political, because I think there is a lot of politics to that, and I think that would change a lot of things dynamically around the world. But do you think that, people always quote the thing of 2012, that something's going to eventually happen, that we're going to finally have first contact, like the Star Trek situation, or something's going to be finally exposed. Do you think that's going to finally happen? That's only like 4 or 5 years from now.
Well, I don't know if anything like that's going to happen on 2012. I think we've probably been visited, all throughout our history. We may have even been brought here by them.
But, a final disclosure of it. The mass media go, hey, up, here it is, and then that they do actually put themselves in a presence that, because sometimes I always wondered, they might be around, and if I was a UFO and I was looking at, to be able to fly around and be that sophisticated, and you look at the humans, and you look at them, and you would think they're pretty barbaric, just like we would look at the Roman civilization, 2,000
right.
years ago. I mean, they look like, let's keep on going, or we'll just sit there and watch them, we're bored, let's get the popcorn and watch them kill each other, Almost like Earth TV. I think South Park made a joke about it. But
I think we're going to be eased into it. If you notice, like all the movies over the last, over the last 50 years, actually, first the cheesy sci-fi space movies, and then they started getting more sophisticated and, more interesting instead of just, completely cheesy, like some of the old ones.
Yeah, and the bring back of the Signs and Independence Day.
It's all just part of the popular culture now. I think maybe we're being acclimated to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's going to be any certain date where we just finally find out. I think it's just going to kind of ease into it, and then we'll be used to it, and, then all of a sudden we realize it's here, but, it's been here all along.
So what do you think about the situation with CNN, I think it was, when was it, when Chicago, the O'Hara Airport got... a bunch of people saw a UFO and then it disappeared and it was on CNN. Is that sort of like another like onion layer exposure on regular mass media TV such as CNN rather than let's say sci-fi channel or something?
Well, yeah, some of that right now, you hear on a serious news station, well, they call it serious, but you'll see they'll make fun of like the UFO and anything like that. But I think the more and more we see it on there, they'll start making fun of it less and less, the more accepted it becomes. But right now, it's like they almost just ridicule anybody or anything involving that type of subject.
Almost like the I word when these people talk about impeachment, huh?
Right.
they first never want to say the I word or lie. That was they called the L, don't lie. The other thing I was really curious, like I was talking about earlier, the relationship with poltergeist and haunted houses. I mean, I've seen personally situations where I've had experiences with ghosts and stuff like that before. So, but and a couple of it was like pretty bizarre. Like I was a couple friends of mine. I don't know if you're familiar with LA. I used to live there in the Los Feliz area. Very old house. And a group of us were sitting down. And we saw this lady who was dressed like in a 1920s outfit run down the stairs, look at us, we're in the cab, run back up, and we were all like, what? And this is not just once, it was always around late at night. So it was like one of the experiences I've experienced with poultry, that phenomena. But what would you explain? I mean, I have my ideals what, that is and what, that was kind of spiritual situation because I have my own ideals with regarding spirituality. What do you believe in as far as that relationship? How is that phenomena, whether it's in a spiritual sense or whether a scientific sense, in relationship with poltergeists or ghosts or haunted houses or what?
Well, I think some of it's where just an area might become imprinted, like it just has a memory of maybe something that happened. I think that explains part of it. Then also, I think
when you mean by imprinted, what do you mean, like a energy?
Yeah, like maybe something good or bad or something just I don't know how it would imprint it, but something just happened. Like if you recorded a tape or something, you know, and you play it back and you play it back, it doesn't change, it's just the same. I think that's part of it. And I think the other part is maybe somebody dies and their spirit or whatever you want to call it will, you know, they can go wherever they want. They might come to you in a dream, they might manifest physically, you know, whatever way that the person seeing it or hearing it or experiencing it can accept it.
So what do you think that, how does that come about? Why do you think that spirit is, for example, some ghost or that spirit of that, let's say that person who died, and then all of a sudden is there, how do you believe that, why is that there? I mean, normally, you know, most people think that when somebody dies, they go up to heaven or hell or whatever their religious beliefs are, or that's it, if you're like an atheist. But how does that come about? Do you have any thoughts about that? Or you just take it as it is?
I've had, my grandfather, he died many, many years ago, and once in a while he would come to me in a dream or something. And I think, you know, wherever he went, he went. But I think that sometimes, like a loved one, if they, you know, died peacefully or whatever, they can come back and visit you, you know, maybe watch over you, whatever. But they're not necessarily trapped in some place where they're haunting things. They can just come back, you know, for like a visit or vacation or something. But I think other times, maybe somebody, you know, died violently or something like that, and maybe they're trapped until they get their, problems, whatever, resolved. You know, so that's maybe a situation where I have an angry spirit, maybe a poltergeist, you know, where the nasty stuff happens, like stuff breaks, you know, it sneaks up on you and bam, you see it, you know, that type of a situation. I don't think it's all just necessarily one thing.
Yeah, there's probably situations of, because I say on my theory, I have a couple, I mean, there's one or several, but one of the situations like you're talking about when somebody dies and if they're not aware of you, even if they're dead, sometimes I believe that's in their soul, but like their spirit will stay within what they call it, and there's a word called I basically get stuck in between the planes, and they don't know that they're supposed to, you know, go back. Well, I believe they go up into light or into a certain vibration.
Right.
So that their causation sits right there. It's something they call it a dubik in Hebrew. It's referred to in Kabbalah, but it's like stuck because they don't know that they're dead. It's like somebody hit by a car and all of a sudden they're still walking around. It's almost like if you ever saw the movie Ghost, in that sense they don't know that they're dead.
Right.
And then there's other phenomena that, like you said, there's loved ones that's still connected, you know, that I know close people who, even my father, like it's funny that you said that, his spirit is still, I mean, I off to a quick story, but when he passed away, he passed away in his bed, and we do this thing where you're supposed to walk out the soul from his bed after like 30 days. So my sister and my mom went to his dad's bedside. We started walking out, and there's next to his bed was the closets were, and they were open, and they're all on one side. And all of a sudden, like a gush of wind, and the clothes were blowing inward. And my sister and my mom looked out at that, and they freaked out. I mean, it was like, I mean, if some like a almost like a hurricane. I'm a little bit exaggerating for a hurricane, but I mean, it was heavy wind just blowing through there, and to me, it was like a warm feeling. I felt like his presence, so I can relate to what you're talking about. Sometimes I feel like there's not just one particular phenomenon that happened with ghosts, and I think people get all weirded out about it, and sometimes there's, I think, a fear factor. Which I don't know why they need to be fearful of it. I think that's sort of imprinted in their heads, you know.
Yeah, I think people are maybe scared of being labeled crazy or ridiculed or whatever for believing in it.
Or I think there's also a stamp too of evilness. Like there's the
right
thing with people wanting to exercise, and maybe there might be another situation. It may be somebody's evil or negative something, but you know, if you sit there and embellish on it, of course it's going to become more evil because. Thoughts or things, and I think that mixtures into that energy that's sitting in there, that little, because when you're talking about a stamp, I mean,
right.
If you look in quantum physics, you know, into that quantum type of photon situation, like you were talking, imprinting that energy stamp, when we do an action or something, or whatever we do in that little space of time, that's still left in that area. You know, if you someone got killed in that room. I used to live in an apartment like in Burbank, and there's door near the bathroom kept on bleeding, like blood running down the door. And girlfriends wanted to freak out when they'd see, they go, what the hell? You know, it would clean it off, and the next day you'd see it bleed right down. And I found out later on that somebody had committed suicide in the bathroom, in that tub. You know, I was like,
right.
Damn, I wish somebody had told me that. But I think sometimes that energy thing is like stamped in there, like you're saying. And then there's other situations. But I think it's great that, you know, how you put in your thing together to show all that stuff. Like I remember seeing one show you had on there. Oh, God, with a tape. That's what really caught me. Actually, there was a taping of some contractors who had some equipment being, you know, they thought was stuff being stolen inside their building that they're working, and, you know, supplies being stolen. So they put a bunch of little cameras around their the apartment, and then that's when they picked you. I guess on your taping on your blog site, it had where like stuff was flying around, and then you saw drywall literally peel off the wall and go straight, hang in the middle of the air, which is like impossible, and go up.
Yeah.
I mean, that one, like, whoa. I was showing that to friends of mine where I work. I do graphic art, and they're like, oh my God, what the hell? They freaked out when they said they ran in and went back to work. I mean, it was like, damn.
Well, some of the stuff is hard to believe even when you see it in person, you know, some of these experiences. So I can understand people's skepticism, you know, about the whole subject because, you do think you're crazy or, no, that can't be possible, you know, because of what you've been told.
Yeah, that is a problem. That people, you know, it goes back to almost like the fear situation with UFOs, poltergeists, all that stuff. It's just the stamp that when anybody sees something beyond, they can't see with their own eyes, or they see with their own eyes and it's unexplained, then they go into this fear pattern, which is a whole other story, which I don't know if I ever saw the movie What the Bleep Do You Know?
Right,
or What
I've seen that.
Yeah, and it's basically right on the nose. It's basically we're... Actually, our eyes see more than there is, and we just don't, relate to it. If you don't relate to it, sometimes we block it out, which explains a lot of situations why some of us see UFOs and some don't.
Well, it's like when you buy a new car. You've never seen that car on the road before, but as soon as you buy it, you see your exact model, exact color, exact everything all over the place.
Yeah,
whatever
exactly.
Your mind focuses on, then it can see. But there's just so much going on that, you know, you would go insane if you... We're actually aware of everything going on around you at every single moment without some kind of a filter.
Well, I think not necessarily. I think you would go pretty much crazy. I think it's our minds are trained. We're trained from little kids to put little things in categories. I mean,
right.
From as labeling. So we have to always organize.
I guess overwhelmed is a better word than crazy.
Yeah, probably maybe overwhelmed, but that's. That's questionable, too. It's because up to a level, I mean, if I think, you know, we only use like a couple percentages of our brain. I think that's the other part of our brain that we'd be able to utilize. I think we could probably be able to function to utilize all that information. We just don't know how to do it.
Right, basically. I do, too.
You know, it's like we're only learn how to drive a car at 120 miles. How the hell can you control a car going 1,000 miles an hour? It could be done, but we couldn't do it because we don't know how to do it.
Well, it's like when I don't remember his name, but somebody broke the 4-minute mile a long time ago, and then all of a sudden when he did it, everybody else could do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm basically referring to. But so besides your own experiences, what would you think would be the strangest thing that either you saw or heard about through your, I guess, how many years you've been getting involved with as far as the poltergeist or haunted houses?
Well, I would say the answering machine experience is probably the weirdest thing because I just cannot figure that one out. I don't know how that could even possibly happen, but it did because I wasn't the only one that witnessed it.
And so when they call you, they call in your answering machine.
Well, I didn't have an answering machine. It was
oh.
my telephone number. This woman called me up all freaked out. she played her answering machine, which was the main message, you know, the one for the callers to hear.
Right.
And it was in my voice, my telephone number, saying leave a message, but it wasn't in any kind of way that I would normally leave an answering machine message, because I usually have a unique way of doing it, and it was my voice, but it wasn't the way I would do it, and I'd never had an answering machine on that telephone number at my house. So it's not like she could have got it at a garage sale or any of that. And I just don't know how it happened, because it was clearly my voice. And I called it back later to see if somebody was pulling a joke or something, and I got the machine, and it was still the same message.
Huh. And it's in the, and you had your other friends, like, call on that same number, and they were looking, like, checking it out, and it was, you know. Well, did you ever find out where that phone number was coming from, or?
No, I never did figure that out. The reason the woman called me, because she, you know, I guess people had left messages saying, you know, who's that? And then she checked her main message and, you know, was freaked out, like maybe I'd broken in the house or something.
And then taped her message machine and...
Right. But you know, that didn't happen. But that's almost the only thing that could have possibly happened for that, you know, to have happened that way. I just don't know.
Wow.
And that's probably the strangest. It's the one that's bothered me the most anyway, because, you know, it involved me and I can't explain it.
Yeah, I guess... Yeah, and you don't want any legal problems either.
Right.
They go, hey, Louis, you're a stalker.
And I can understand why she was all freaked out, but it freaked me out probably as much as it did her, I think, maybe more.
Yeah. God,
it was like, okay, is there another me out there doing
this? Is the same vicinity where you live, or is another...
It was in the same town, yeah, but it was back in Springfield, Missouri, a town, I don't know, probably a couple hundred thousand people, so... It wouldn't have necessarily been, you know, in the same neighborhood or anything.
Wow.
And it wasn't anybody I'd ever met or known.
Did you end up finally meeting her to find out, trying to figure out how this came about, or just
no,
let it
I
go?
No, I didn't. It was probably 10 years ago or so, and, you know, nowadays I probably would have tried to do that, but I think I kind of blocked it out of my mind for a while because it was just so strange.
Wow.
I wish I would have, you know, checked it out a little better, though.
Wow, that sounds pretty bizarre. But how about, like, UFO experiences? Have you had any UFO experiences or extraterrestrial experiences?
I've had some strange dreams, but I don't know how well that counts, you know, but where the saucer's, like, right above head and, you know, almost like in some of the movies. And you can even feel, like, the radiation kind of burning you as it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some pretty intense dreams about it. And, you know, some researchers say, you know, that that's a possible abduction. I don't know, you know, for sure, but...
Have you ever lost time?
Yeah, I've lost time.
Wouldn't you if you lost time?
Let's see. It must have been probably about 20 years ago. Maybe even a little more. I was, you know, a kid in elementary school. And sometime around then I actually did get some kind of a weird... I've never had to examine a possible implant, but, you know, just saying that is possible because I don't know. But it's still there, like right by my shoulder. Like a hard little lump.
Did you ever have a doctor check it out or see what's in there?
No, but it'd be very interesting to do that. I think there's one out in L.A. It's pretty famous. It gets on coast to coast sometimes.
Right. There's I can't remember his name now. Pretty famous doctor. He does specifically take out implants like that.
Right. That's
and they
what
analyze
I'm talking about.
And,
I think he even films it.
Right. And then he analyzes the material and that. Because I've only... situation where I lost time, and it was actually significant, is and this is a while back. A friend of mine and I were heading to do some business in Las Vegas. At the time, I had a construction firm, and it was a triangle partnership. I had one in Las Vegas, one in Phoenix, and my major firm, which was mine and my partner's, was in L.A. So I was heading there. He had to do some business as well. And we had left because we tried to go like 7 o'clock during, you know, at night heading to Vegas because this is like during the summer where it starts getting cooler. And we got into like Baker, which is only about, you know, maybe half an hour away from Vegas.
Okay.
And then we get out of Vegas there and get usually, you know, you get your little snack break or whatever and gas. And then we got in. And up in that time, we were having like weird flashes. But we just took them as what it is because you never know. On the way to Vegas, you see all kinds of weird stuff happen, and we think it's just the time thing, and maybe it's just, Air Force or missiles or whatever going
right.
on. And the desert. Well, all of a sudden, and this is at 10 o'clock at night, we arrived, like I said, in Baker, and we left. All of a sudden, I started falling asleep. I started waking up. And next thing I know, I see Elliot, my friend. He was driving with eyes closed, like driving. And I go, hey, Elliot, look, it's sunrise. And he goes, yeah. And I goes, and we see, because you're pulling, we're going into, we see like the sunrise coming behind, and we see the Luxor on one side. And it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like we lost over almost 6-7 hours. We lost time. We didn't know what the hell happened.
What should have taken, what, half an hour?
Half an hour, an hour drive.
Right.
You know, there's like no way. And at the time, I just looked at it what it was. You know, we just looked at it like, oh, God, you know. And they happened to be, him and some friends and his wife were very psychics and mystics, but I just took it, well, whatever, you know. Being around them, it was like being around the Addams family. But, you know, I just took it as it is. But after that time, things really are changing for me personally as far as clairvoyance and things like that, which is a whole other situation. And you know, and now I look back, I just always wondered, you know, and always felt ever since then like somebody watching me. Like
that's
I'm being
kinda
watched.
How it's been for me, you know. Things happen here and there, and I didn't really think much of them other than, you know, just it was something. But as time's gone by, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, that kind of fits into this. Kind of like, you know, the facts are just kind of starting to add up. Oh, well, maybe it's a little different than I thought.
And do you ever have a feeling that one day real soon, like, you are going to now physically see and have all this information, go, okay, now this is why what happened? Like, it's, you know, when it comes to the end of the book, or the
right.
end of a conclusion, this is why, you know, this situation happened and why, let's say, for example, maybe you had this thing stuck in your back or whatever, or, you know, and I don't know, you know, I believe there's always two kinds of extraterrestrials myself. I believe there's, like, the good ones and the ones that are walking, going toward the light and the ones toward the dark. You know, the ones that are sitting there cutting up cows and all that stuff and abducting people and impregnating,
right.
You know, that'd be one side. And then there's more the enlightened side, which I believe were what you were talking about before, where religions and all that stuff had originally started from trying to enlighten us, being probably as barbaric kind of species we are.
Right. Well, just look at mankind. I think you could probably equate the whole alien society to mankind a little bit, you know. There's bad guys, there's good guys, indifferent, you know.
What do you think?
All types of different groups of people, you know, and they don't all speak for each other.
Right. That's sort of what I think what's happening. That's why there's such a collage of events that are happening. And there was another thing, I think, I'm trying to remember this, Sonata, or I can't remember his name is, he got into anti-gravity, and the reason why we sometimes see the UFOs and he gets into physics. That's what really got my interest.
David Sirita?
Yeah, David Sirita.
Okay.
And it got my interest into the mechanics of, because he was showing some NASA tapings and stuff and the speed. I think you had it on your site showing how fast.
I think he was the one that had two identical camcorders aimed at the sky, one with night vision and one without, and one was seeing stuff and one wasn't.
Yeah. And it was because the phenomena, if you realize it's going so fast, and it would go beyond our understanding, you know, speed. If you normally go beyond the speed of light, it wouldn't exist because mass would sort of collapse, according to Einstein. But when you get into quantum and you go into, you know, the wavelengths and all that stuff, you break into new barriers. And so that's why he was showing, like, you would see a UFO and all of a sudden disappear. It wasn't really just disappearing. It was actually you saw what was, you know, maybe thousands of, you know, several minutes before what was there.
Right.
It's like when we see the sunlight, or let's say example the moon that we see right now, the light of that moon, how long it traveled, that may have been several minutes in reality of what happened
right.
with that light. So in the same essence as when we see a UFO, because they're basically, to get here, they're not flying through straight spaces, linear space, like we send aircraft to the moon or to Mars or other crafts. They're bending space, going through portholes, and then, you know, getting here and then leaving.
Right, I would imagine they have technology we can't even conceive of. You know, mankind does not know everything as much as, you know, scientists would like to tell us they do.
Well, I think they do, but they don't want to elaborate, because actually through science, and in his he was even showing through quantum physics that wouldn't make sense how that we would see the UFO, how they're able to move around.
Right.
And, you know, so I think they do know that. They just, when you get down to asking, because I remember listening to him when he was talking about how UFOs would be able to, you know, how they were disappearing and moving around. When he asked most physicists, they say, yeah, this is the theory, that's why that's happening. And then when you ask somebody normal, someone who would be like already with a precondition with trying to, you know, make it look like crazy, says, well, it's probably in the camera. It's probably in the glow. It's the light reflecting, and, you know, they make up
the debunkers.
Yeah, you know, they'd make up stuff, you know, and maybe you should have watched your lens or something, I don't know. And I personally, I know, because I do digital graphics, like photos, and you can really see whether it's made up or not through digitally. You can really zoom in. If you zoom in, you can tell if something was placed there or not.
Well, yeah, so like some of the orbs, you know, some of those are dust and some aren't. I don't know, I can't explain all of them, but, you know, some are dust, but they're definitely not all dust, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them happen when there's not a flash or any kind of light source that should be illuminating anything. You know, some of them have faces in them. So if you can keep reproducing the same thing over and over, then you have a pretty good chance of knowing that it's something. And then you just got to narrow it down to what it is.
Speaking of faces, did you hear, you don't know about the face on Mars, right?
Right.
What they have, they found out, and they don't want to, they chiseled out, like, it looks like a, like almost like a skeleton-like face they found on Mars and all that.
The old one that Hoagland found, or promoted back from the 70s and stuff?
No, but they've had one, they, I think...
Well, I know they have a smiley face one that NASA has on their website, and Hoagland...
There's one that looks almost like...
a new image of it not that long ago, I think.
Yeah, not long ago, and it looks almost like a skeleton-like looking face. Like
right.
a skeleton, like his, you know, round mouth and cut-out eyes and a nose, almost like a pirate type of face, you know, the thing, you know, pirate... but that was like blew me away. But you know, and then somebody had brought it up to my attention, and I checked that out. And maybe you can help me out. There was a thing they were talking about with our listeners who are listening. There's that phenomena that basically on the moon there's several buildings on the moon, and how the Soviets and the Russians don't actually airbrush out their pictures of the moon.
Right.
So you can see them on their pictures, but when they go to NASA and then come to the U.S., they're airbrushed out.
Yeah,
what
I've
are
never
those
actually been able to find real good pictures of those. I found a few that, you know, show some artifacts, but it would be very interesting to see the ones that they're talking about.
There's one they said it looks like a, I guess it's a, oh God, like a, not like a stick, like a glass, like a cylindrical, I'm trying to remember what the word
kind
for
like
it.
Kind of like an Epcot Center type thing with glass.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody was saying something like that. There's one that's...
I believe there's a moon anomaly site. The domain is something similar to that, moon anomaly. I'm not sure. That has a lot of those pictures and a lot of the evidence.
Do you think that just basically there's already alien, like, landing sitting there and, you know, and they're just watching us land and, okay, and what do you think there's some... do you think there was actually any contact? Because I've never heard any. If they have buildings already over there, why wouldn't any of the Apollo missions, do you think they've ever been? Because they never they talk about they've seen extraterrestrials or UFO sightings, actually.
Well, I would
but
guess.
But surprised they never really got contacted. Well, if they're there, why they weren't ever really contacted? Or maybe they weren't.
Well, supposedly they were. I can't remember. Truman, I believe, was supposedly contacted back in the 50s by the aliens, back when there was all those sightings above the White House.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that probably there was ancient societies. They write about it in the Vedas, I believe, about different kinds of planes and stuff they have. I would guess that our society is way older and used to be way more sophisticated than the regular culture would admit to. We may have traveled back to the moon way back then and just kind of, you know, had a nuclear war or something and just lost a lot of it.
So you think that we had a reemergence of a new civilization, basically, a reemergence?
Right. I don't know, you know, if there was an exodus where everybody left and there were just, you know, pretty much cavemen left over, or, well, not really cavemen, you know, but like a dark age or what. I don't know the exact details, but I would guess something like that probably happened.
Because I've heard there are people have discussed where another situation like the Greys and Oranges or whatever, that they're like a mixture, they're part of us, that we're part of them. And that's what our society is, part of them. And
I'd lean more towards probably the Nordic aliens you've heard of. I would say that's probably a little more likely that we're related to them than probably the Greys. Unless the Greys are like a future version of us.
Huh. See, that's sort of what I have a feeling. I feel like, I think Greys are one species, but I have a funny, my inclination, I think there's a multiple species of like what you're talking about, the Nordic type.
Right.
In fact, in my book, I put in there like the one Nordic that I had a vision of what probably looked like it, but I felt there was a mixture, like, you know, of races and, but that's just, you know, and they're just from certain areas, like maybe Palladian, some people, or Orion. I believe there's a big, huge, I personally think we're, a lot of us are some relation to the Orion for some reason, but,
And I think we might have even been genetically created, but from, you know, some other alien DNA or something. If you look back to some of the mythology, like all the weird creatures, you know, like minotaurs, sphinxes, things like that.
So
and
you don't
we're just now starting to do that type of thing here on Earth now.
So what about, what would be the relationship with, then with Darwin's theory that the evolutionary process, that we basically evolved from ape to Methandro and Cro-Magnon and to where we are now?
Well, humans are a very odd species on Earth. They're basically the only animals that are hurt by the sun badly. If you look at most other animals, they've adapted to deal with the sun. It's almost like we're not really from here.
But then
I think things can evolve, but I'm not so sure we evolved here on Earth.
But then why is our, because our DNA is like pretty, our DNA is very, we have like close DNA to even the banana, in fact. And then even pigs, we have real close DNA to pigs as well.
Well, it's very possible they might have taken some kind of sapien DNA, like a monkey or, well, more like an ape, and just modified it
to be
more like them or something. Because
have you ever heard the book called Adam and Man?
I don't believe so.
Huh. It's in what they talk about, that there was basically a man originally here, and then the aliens came and then merged with Adam and then became man. And what happened was, this book was talking about how Adam was originally more or less alien type, and that's how white people were living. You know, thousands
right.
of years, and as the DNA, breeding, man's DNA, regular man or whatever, overcome, you know, being a dominant, basically man became living less and less, longer and longer, because that was his lifespan as opposed to the alien. But
I've heard of the theory that there was like an Adam race and an Eve race, not really just a man named Adam and a woman named Eve, that it was two different races.
Yeah. And maybe that's where they came up with that story of Adam and Eve.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden created, and, you know, they had a out of a rib, and maybe there's something to that, too. That's what they're trying to imply. Maybe that's a story that's been told, and they couldn't explain DNA, so they said it's a rib from Eve. Or, actually, there's another story. There's, I don't know if you know, Lilith.
Right. Lilith was supposed to be his first wife, and then
yeah.
Eve was the second. So that would maybe lend a little bit of credence to the two races, then, possibly. Lilith might have been from the Adam race or whatever.
Huh.
Maybe even a possible third race that they didn't like or something, so they introduced the Eve race.
Hmm. Because in Hebrew, I don't know if you know, there's a lot of words that actually have, like, real symbolic meanings and stuff like that. That's what's in Kabbalistical meanings. But the word, like, Adam and Adama, like, Adama means is part of earth and with blood. And man is basically from Earth. So it's like, I'm always wondering if when they're saying those words, there's a symbolic reasoning behind
right.
that. Because maybe it's created out of the, when they said, oh, he was created, basically, it does, in the Bible, says created out of earth, that was really like almost like the elixir, the alchemist making man, in
right.
a way. But, and I think there's possibly a mixture between what you're saying, there's of other species, and that's why there's the conflict of people saying it was creationist or evolutionary. I think, in a way, they're both right, personally, but...
Yeah, I think things evolved, but I don't think that we're directly, evolved from apes without some help. And it's probably
right.
more likely Neanderthals that we were developed from, but...
Like, it was mutations.
Right, purposely mutated to get to this point, because it seems like we've kind of leaped ahead at different points.
Yeah, because you brought up an interesting point, though. We are very sensitive. We have our skin is sensitive. I mean, even if you have extremely dark-complected skin, you're still affected by the sunlight and by radioactive rays, and I don't think there is an animal that can adapt to that.
I can't think of too many animals that have to have a house to live in, but almost all humans need a house. I mean, there's some that don't have them, and that's unfortunate, but, most of them have to have some kind of a shelter.
Yeah, and I can't say pigs normally now would have that be affected by that, but they've been domesticated, so that's not real.
Right.
And they evolved from the boar, and if you see a wild boar, he's got thick hair, and he evolves. I mean, you can see, if you ever go to Hawaii, you can see wild boar flying, riding around there in the Big Island. But,
and dogs are proof that, a species can be modified over time with some help.
Yeah.
Because they come from wolves.
Right, that's true.
I mean, I think all, even the hyenas and everything, are directly from wolves.
Wolves and coyote. Because I've seen people talk about how even coyote, they have And what about cats? How do you think they've evolved then?
I don't know. They're kind of a special species, I think. They were almost worshipped by the Egyptians. They're probably somewhat similar to dogs, I guess, in the breed.
Do you think that
stuff,
they maybe
but I
had
I don't
some...
know as much about the cats. I know that, they're almost kind of a religious icon for some.
Yeah, do you think, because I was wondering, I always think that maybe cats were maybe possibly another little created situation here, because they're related to tigers and lions and
right.
leopards and all that, but then, and they have the same characteristics, same movements, but... they're like shrunk down.
Well, there's an interesting thing with cats. If you kind of pull back their ears and look at their eyes, they look kind of like a gray.
Yeah, that's what you're right. They have that weird-looking eyes. So you never know. Maybe there's something to that, too. I mean, maybe a lot of our species and, people talk about the phenomena and stuff. But, that's like a whole other stuff. Do you ever get into that stuff on your blog site as far as,
I don't go a whole lot into my own opinion at this point. I would like to at some point. Right now, I've just been trying to get, interesting articles off the Internet, and lately I've just been trying to build up traffic. I'd like to get some guest contributors, too, maybe spinoff blogs.
Right, right.
With different people's opinions, maybe, like a conspiracy theory area and all that. But.
And start adding new dimensions into your... Because that's
right.
what I noticed, the problem with... and I noticed, that's how... When I was trying to find out blog sites on UFOs, because that's when you hear people talking back and forth, it's very small. I mean, I've seen a lot of UFO sites that
right.
just go here, either radio sites and whatnot. And I was wondering, why. Now, that's why I was really glad that I saw your site, because... Like, the phenomenon of bloggers, like in particular what's happened within the political situation, it throws out opinion, whether you agree or disagree with it. At least it gets out people's opinion. And it can be really bizarre, but I think it'd be great, having sites like yours out there that people can relate to and show things. And,
right.
and with the advent of YouTube, like someone from... Mexico to Brazil to China to, China, they're not allowed to. But, most around the world to show, their experiences of, and show how the commonality from the common experiences of extraterrestrials or UFOs and including also, the haunted houses and poltergeists and, and all those paranormal that we don't really talk about to get more talked about and relate to as human beings one to another, and maybe
right.
those phenomena be more taken not as the bizarre or the weird or
well, and
the
I think
crazy.
People used to talk about that. If you look back, I don't know, like a century or so ago, it was pretty popular to talk about that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I think something scared people. I think almost like it seems like within the 40s and 50s there was a switch that they changed it. They made a created a fear factor.
Probably the anti-communist movement, I would guess.
Yeah, well, see, I personally think that, like you said, there is a lot of influence from the creating like movies. I don't think they in Hollywood, because I worked as an AD in the film business in Hollywood for a while, and they don't go out and okay, we're going to make a movie to influence people, you know. But there is a sense to, you know, what that person, whoever creates that film, they have
right.
their ideas of creating that to create that sensationalism.
Well, yeah,
so,
they still add to the popular culture, whether they're directly influencing it or not.
Right. They're going to reflect on what's going to be out there. Like, I mean, when Spielberg came out with his Close Encounter, then all of a sudden right after there was Cocoon, and there was all this, like, enlightened areas of relating to extraterrestrials, and then there's, of course, Star Trek, and, you know, and then there was Star Wars. But then we have, like, now, then we have the fear factor brought back in. And I think that I was always wondering why that was with Signs, you know, oh, my God, they're going to get you. The War of the Worlds.
Oh, yeah. That
and then all
hated
of a sudden, Independence
movie. Not
Day.
Not because of the way it was made. Just, I don't know, just like an awful movie, you know, the way they kind of made things out to be.
Right. They made it to look, but they, what I'm trying to say, they're trying to make a fear thing
right.
behind it, like to scare people into thinking, oh, my God, you know, and then. You know, instead of accepting, because look, if extraterrestrials really wanted to take us over and wanted to, and they had that ability to break through, you know, like I said, we were talking about their technology and stuff, they would easily have done it already, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the universe is, what, billions and billions of years old?
Yeah.
And
I mean, what are we?
Mankind's not, so.
And especially if we have the amount of, resources from water to whatever, maybe it's not their resource, but. You know, which is a whole other subject, because I think there's other, we're not the only Earth around.
Right.
That has this kind of resources, but.
Yeah,
but
if you're space traveling and you can gather all the resources off meteorites and all that, you could easily defeat just one planet's resources.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, why would they, if they know, you know, that's what I'm saying, it's like, so why would they need a, so that's why I was always wondering that fear factor they're bringing, the throw in the front of people, and, you know, I think that maybe, hopefully, down the line, you know, more movies or things and books and what will come out more to remove that fear-based mentality, so people will be more open. And I think when that happens, less fear. I think that they'll bring down that curtain of, and we'll have more extraterrestrial events brought into in light, and the
right.
government will be sort of a non-issue as far as being able to. You know, do the Watergate situation with it. You know, but getting to another thing, what is your religious background behind? What do you think of with the connection with, do you have any, or what's your, as far as God and spirit and with UFOs and extraterrestrials?
Well, I was brought up Christian, I guess, more or less, but I don't follow that now. I really don't like organized religions for the most part. I think they're, just control. So I just kind of try to keep an open mind and, just kind of evolve from there.
To go with the flow, basically.
Right. The more I discover, you know, the more I form my opinions and all that. I don't try to just follow any one thing. Because I think there's probably a lot of truths in different religions, but I don't think any one religion has the truth.
So, like I said, just basically going with the flow and to have a feel that there's basically a certain enlightenment part, but a lot of it's. I relate to what you're saying there.
I think it's kind of like a journey. You know, you
right.
have to learn along the way to really get it or whatever.
And what would you, if you would have a, you know, because I got to start closing here, but. What would you, if you were to able, first of all, before I get into it, what do you anticipate to create in the future with utilizing whether your blog or other sites, or do you have any future projects that you anticipate to start doing, or
Well, I would really like to start doing video interviews with people, their own experiences, and then present those onto the website.
Hmm. That'd be interesting. I saw that, like, somebody on your tape had some kids out in, was in Kentucky, where they were running around doing that.
Right. I think that's from about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. That was, I guess so. I don't know how old that is, but...
Yeah.
And,
it wasn't professional, but you got to give them credit for trying. They did it.
Hey, look at, what was that movie shot in the dark? Oh, God.
I know the one you're talking about, and she's crying and got the snotty nose and all that.
Yeah.
Blair Witch.
Blair Witch, yeah. God, I know. A friend of mine helped get that going, but, yeah, a whole movie shot in the dark. It cost them $10,000 to buy it out. But what do you expect in future, ideal future beliefs with this, as far as with UFOs? Like, what do you see? And, I'm probably reiterating this again, but if you could be a prophet, what would you prophesize?
Well, I guess what I'd like to see is, disclosure. Then we actually, get up there in space and start exploring instead of just staying here on Earth for the most part.
You mean as far as NASA, or as far as what about the relationship with the UFO situation? This one.
Well, if we can make contact with the aliens, I think we should go that way. NASA, I don't think we'd get out of the solar system in the next century, or maybe the next millennium.
Yeah. I think because we're locked in.
I think private industry is gonna probably far exceed NASA before too long.
What would you think economically would happen if that were to happen?
Well, there probably would be problems for a little while, but I think in the long run, I think it would make everything better. We might even discover we don't even really need money.
Yeah, sort of like it becomes a non-issue.
Because it's a creation of man anyway. I mean, money, theoretically, we don't need it.
Yeah. My thing is, it's an example of, I have a funny feeling, if you heard the anti-gravity development, where you
right.
can actually utilize energy. And this goes, I think you had on, talking about, on, I think you had Tesla, what's his name, Tesla?
Right, Nikola Tesla.
And, but this has been, he originally got into it, and for some reason, I don't know what happened to it, but, because I never really got into the research of his stuff, but I know from other things I've seen from NASA and developments that a lot of that stuff is, we have that ability, you actually go, here's energy, here's a machine that creates it. The problem is, it only costs as a machine, and the energy source is free, so therefore they can't have that. So I studied at UC Davis back in the 70s, and I remember a lot of things happened at that same time. In Berkeley, they developed a battery and a light bulb, a light bulb that lasts for 20 years, a battery that almost doesn't even go dead.
Right. I think the government's very interested in it, and they kind of just snap that up.
Well, it wasn't even the government. Who bought out? GE bought. If you're at that time in the universities, if you discover something, you have to sell off the patent. You can't own
a
public institution can't own the patent because it's owned by the public. So they auction it off, and then the proceeds goes into the school system
right.
or the state.
Kind of like the auto industry was doing with some of those supposed 100 mile per gallon carburetors.
Yeah, well, even at the same time, when I was at UC Davis, which is basically agriculture school, they had developed a plant. They actually found a plant, and they just had to manipulate it a little bit through pollinization, and they created, it's related to a jojoba plant that grows out in the desert, and it's basically a petroleum. And everybody thought, oh, my God, we're gonna, and I remember Carter's wife, I forget what her name is, but she had flown out there, and then Jane Fonda, and everybody was all excited because it was during the the energy crisis back in the 70s, and oh, this is our answer, and with all the desert, we can plant all these. And then Chevron bought the patent rights to the plant. And then
you probably
dead.
Haven't heard of it since, I would guess.
No, not at all.
I think that happens a lot.
And that's exactly what I'm saying, that if this stuff came out, as far as our economics, it would change where we wouldn't need. I mean, that's the biggest problem. It has nothing to do with the technology, it has to do with political economics, which
I
is
think that's where the internet comes into play. Maybe we'll get a few inventors that instead of trying to sell the patent, they might get it patented, but then they just give it away on the internet for anybody to use.
Right, that's what.
And distributed all over there before anybody can take them all down.
Exactly, maybe, and that might be the answer. You know, after a while, power, you know. Because basically, personally, I think economics is more of power control, not just having the most cars or the most, it's more of a power issue.
Right.
You know, but because when you make so much money, what else can you do with it but to control people? But, yeah, you know, that's hopefully that will change down the line, and maybe we will experience it. I personally think that something phenomenal is happening, and I believe not just through the internet, as
right.
Bush would call it, but I think that has helped link everybody up to information, and I think with your site as well, is help expose and open up people's awarenesses of what's around them, not just so with extraterrestrials and UFOs, which I think is a real important event, but also removing the you know, relating to, you know, poltergeists and haunted houses and all that stuff. And by the way, I also like how you put up some old Vincent Price movies. I saw that on one of yours one time when you had an old
right.
the haunted house. I mean, that was classic because that reminded me when I was a kid watching Chiller. Now, I don't know if you were how old you are, but back in the late 60s, we'd get up, but it was always on a Saturday night, and it'd be 12 o'clock, and Chiller would be on, and it'd be like movies like, you know, Vincent Price. That was actually on Chiller. I remember that movie as a kid, but they'd have all these old little scary movies with the little light and haunted house. I thought it was pretty cool that you had that on there.
Well, yeah, and those kind of things, you know, get people's imagination going. You know, it doesn't have to be real necessarily to inspire somebody.
And it's in part entertainment, too, you know.
Yeah, you know, if you just have a site that's completely boring, well, no matter how good the information is, people may not come back.
Yeah, and not only that, it's dry, and that's what I was saying about what I like about your site is it's definitely entertaining while you're checking it out, and I recommend everybody checking it out. Again, it's at myufo.com, and Lewis, I want to tell you this has been great having this great conversation with you.
I've enjoyed it as
well.
Close
going pretty far over the hour. Of course, there's nobody falling behind me, so that's pretty cool, too. I also want to thank all our listeners who are listening in and future listeners for who will be listening or will about to be listening to the show. Do you have anything else you wanted just to plug or talk about, Lewis, before we close?
I guess I'll give out my email address if anybody wants to contact me with anything, basically. It's just ufo@myufo.com.
Okay. And I want to thank you for having you on my show, Lewis. And again, I want everybody to check out his site. It's myufo.com, myufo.com. I know you guys all love it. And again, I want to thank Lewis for coming onto my show and you know, opening up another door to an experience his blog, which I highly recommend. And to all the listeners, I want to thank you, and I want to thank BBS Radio for having me have my show. This is When the Pigs Fly, and of course, all of you can always check my site out, www.andrewfetter.com. And, in fact, it's ironic that it's relating to some of the subject matter, and there's my book, When the Angels Have Risen, which gets into the UFO phenomenon and relationships to organized religion, and, of course, there's the major events, and there's a civil war that breaks out because the government wants to shut everybody up, sort of like what we've been discussing. So, again, I want to thank all the listeners out there. And again, I want to thank Lewis for coming on to my show. And again, check out his site at myufo.com. And thank you, and God bless.